Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Hello, folks, and welcome to This is Robotics for February 2024. I'm Tom Green, your host and companion, as we travel together through the big wide world of modern robotics. And now, robotics is even getting better as it converges with artificial intelligence. Ah, the age of smart robots is upon us. Thanks again for making This is Robotics the number one robotics news podcast worldwide for 2 years running. Thank you very much. Very much appreciated. It's February, and we can all thank the second king of Rome, Numa Pompilius, for adding the month of February to the Julian calendar. Februar, in Latin, means to cleanse, to purify, or to atone for your past errors. For 2024, February is a little bit wacky. It's the only month every 4 years that can give itself an extra day. And presto, February 2024 has 29 days. This year, both Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday fall on the same day, February 14th. It's also Lunar New Year in Asia. 2024 is Year of the Dragon, a very, very lucky year. And February is the last month of the meteorological winter. Spring is up next on March 19th. For February, here at This is Robotics, we ask and answer the question, why are there so few robots and so little automation in the United States? You might say that when it comes to automation in America, the country is malnourished, badly malnourished. So much so, it affects manufacturing, production, productivity, the nation's GDP, and jobs. We did some investigative journalism this month to find out why, and we were surprised at what we found. You will be as well. An article series on the topic we published in Asian Robotics Review titled Why So Little Robot Automation in America. It got over 10,000 hits, so somebody's listening and somebody's curious and somebody's saying, what? Our email response from our readership attested to the fact that we were not the only ones surprised by our findings. It's accompanied by a news report from CBS, who also covered the strange state of robotics in the United States. Then we'll dip off into What's New in Robotics. What's New in Robotics is the blog we write in partnership with Robotique. Robotique's tools and know-how simplify collaborative robot applications so factories can start production faster. Elevate your workforce with easy-to-use cobot solutions from Robotique that do the work for you. From the blog, we present here at This is Robotics three first-evers in robotics. We love doing first-evers. We're amazed at what robotics is doing these days. We love what people have been doing with robots and cobots lately. Simply amazing. And we're going to present three of them here, three of the most interesting here today for you. Two of them hail from Korea, Hyundai's microfactory in Singapore, and a huge breakthrough by Koreans in teaching robots to respond to the human voice. I mean, let me say that again. Robots to respond to the human voice. Unbelievable when you think about it. We got a little clip in here of them actually doing this and teaching the robot, and you'll be amazed. Then we nip over to Argonne National Laboratories to see cobots in the first ever making of medical radioisotopes, which are very, very important, and we don't have enough of. So cobots pitching in and doing this at Argonne is amazing. We close out the podcast with what is probably the biggest story in robotics for the foreseeable future. Can robots save East Asia? China, Korea, and Japan are suffering from a new pandemic. Too few workers, too many elderly, and too little automation. China, Korea, and Japan are plagued with the very same too few, too many, and too little affliction all simultaneously. The clock is ticking on China, Korea, and Japan. The 5 years, 2025 to 2030, will be critical. Each country has a plan What is it doing with that plan? And will that plan work? We'll get into that during the bulk of the podcast. We have been following this megastory actually since 2023. Along with an in-depth article series on the subject in Asian Robotics Review, we brought the story into this month's podcast as well. We'll show you what we know. As always, look to the show notes for all the links to all the online stories. Now, on with the news. About midway through 2023, we encountered a curious title to an article that read, America Isn't as Automated as It Thinks It Is. Within the body of that article, we also saw that the Bureau of Labor Statistics said that U.S. declines in productivity were the worst in 75 years. And we quote, it has never happened before, and data going back to 1948. The same year, the Government Accounting Office produced a document that for the president, basically saying that they didn't understand the effect of automation on the American people. That got us very curious to find out what actually was going on. You'd never think in a million years that America isn't as automated as it thinks it is. If you look at all the robot trade shows and events that go on, billions of dollars are spent just on those trade shows. If you look at all of the YouTube videos on robots, you'd think that America is up to its Adam's apple in robots and automation. But that's furthest from the truth, as we began to find out, as we began to assemble information about what was really going on. The most recent report that we looked at was one out of Stanford University, headed by Eric Brynjolfsson. That's the guy who used to be at Sloan School, MIT Sloan School. He's now at Stanford, and he produced characteristics and geographic distribution of robot hubs in U.S. manufacturing establishment, which said 77% of all robots and cobots sold in the United States go to five states. The other 45 states aren't as well serviced. That was curious. We also had the benefit of Susan Berger's report of a viewpoint on manufacturing in the United States from 2020. We also had the report from the Century Foundation from 2019, how robots are beginning to affect jobs and wages in the United States. If you put all three of those together, you get a mighty eye-opening look at what's happening as far as automation goes. And from that, we produced an article. The article said, quite simply, why so little robot automation in America? Now we know. And what we did is we poured our research into that article. We posted it, the announcement for it, on LinkedIn, and got 10,000 hits. So we were not the only people who were interested in that information. Then, coming up to 2024, which it is now, we saw a Reuters report that said 2023, there was a decrease of 30% over the year before in the purchase of robots by America's manufacturers. A decrease of over 30% over the year before is the largest drop percentage-wise since 2006 and the largest drop in units ever. Is there a relationship between automation in America, the effect of robots on wages and jobs, and also from the Berger Report, her view of manufacturing in America, which her team visited Massachusetts, Ohio, and Arizona, and they found very little to none robots or cobots in evidence with any small to medium enterprises in any of those three states. That's a lot of territory. Here's a news report CBS did on the curious situation that Brynjolfsson and company encountered. Remember, Brynjolfsson and Stanford conducted their research amongst 35,000 manufacturing establishments. And this report from CBS gives you a little hint of what's going on.
Automation is becoming a part of more American workplaces, particularly in manufacturing. A new study from the National Bureau of Economic Research shows that impact is not even across the country. Elaine has more.
Well, Lana, researchers studied corporations that used robots in manufacturing and where they were located. Now, if companies used robots, they had a lot of them. Over three quarters of all active manufacturing robots in the U.S. are in a small amount of so-called robot hubs, which include states like Iowa, Michigan, Kansas, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Half of all areas surveyed across the country had almost no robot use reported. So this led researchers to identify certain attributes associated with these robot hubs. Companies in those hubs tend to have higher union membership, more workers, and be near firms that specialize in manufacturing robots called robot integrators. But those companies were reportedly more likely to pay their workers less. And that matches previous studies on the effects of robots on wages. In a 2019 study of the Midwest manufacturing sector, an increase of one robot was associated with as much as a 5% decline in wages for young men and women without college degrees. Now, in 2021, the installation of industrial robots hit a new record, signaling that automation will continue becoming more integrated into the American manufacturing fabric.
So it's the states of Iowa, Michigan, Kansas, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, the robot hubs, getting 77% of all the robots sold in the United States. That same area is what the Chicago Federal Reserve calls the automobile corridor. So there's all automobile companies there and suppliers of automobile parts to those companies. Okay, so those are the percentages, but what is actually the split amongst the five states and the rest of the other 45 states? Well, in 2022, that was a historical high for the sale of industrial robots and cobots in the United States, in North America, which was 44,196. The fact about when you see these figures, they always say North America, which includes Canada and Mexico. So there's Canada, United States, and Mexico is North America. But how many are sold in the United States, not just North America? So you got to go to the International Federation of Robotics and find out that between Canada and Mexico, there's 10,000 robots were sold. So now what we do is we really don't have 44,196 coming into the U.S., it's really 34,196. Out of that number, 93% are industrial robots and 7% cobots. Cobots still not selling very well, right? So using past sales as a guide, this 77%, we find out those five states, which are like a black hole, sucked up 26,330 industrial robots and cobots. That leaves 7,866 for the other 45 states to split, which then averages out to 175 industrial robots and cobots per state. Going forward, this is not a pretty picture of robots automating American manufacturing. If robots are set to fundamentally change how economies operate, much like the internet and electricity then did in America, we're in for a tough time. So now we come upon 2024 in the Reuters report that says during 2023, the U.S. experienced a 30% drop over the year before in the sale of robots and cobots. The largest drop in the percentage terms since 2006 and the largest drop ever in terms of units. Of course, there's a lot of reasons for that, from interest rates to shipping and supply chain issues. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in there, but the fact remains that 77% of all robots and cobots sold are going to five states, while the other 45 states get shortchanged. Of course, we can't be automation juggernauts in the United States when that kind of stuff goes on. And basically, I mean, what appears what happens is the automobile companies are low-hanging fruit. So what happens when low-hanging fruit disappear? As the saying goes, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So I urge you to go to Asian Robotics Review and read the article. It's on the front page. Just click and go and get an eyeful of what's going on in America as far as automation goes. And during 2024, use that as part of your perspective when encountering sales of robots and cobots. Where are they being sold? How many? And who is getting shortchanged? Then, of course, we have the Biden $1 trillion infrastructure bill, which if you look at the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times will tell you that $200 billion a month is being spent building factories infrastructure. Well, small to medium enterprises in 45 states that need automation, that's infrastructure. The people who work in those establishments are infrastructure. Jobs are infrastructure. Training is infrastructure. None of the money from that $1 trillion is going to go to feed any of those three. So something still needs to be done about people, small to medium enterprises, productivity, and jobs in America. Next up, welcome to our monthly edition of What's New in Robotics. What's New in Robotics is the blog we write in partnership with Robotique that we told you about at the beginning of the show. What we do online in text with What's New in Robotics, we bring to the podcast to put audio to it and to extend it to our podcast audience globally. Robotique's tools and know-how simplify collaborative robot applications so factories can start production faster. Elevate your workforce with easy-to-use cobot solutions from Robotique that do the work for you. Check them out. Wonderful Canadian company at robotique.com. That's robotique.com. This month, What's New in Robotics presents for your consideration three first-ever innovations in robotics. You're hearing them first right here. First up in the first-evers, microfactories, where robots rule. Are microfactories the future of manufacturing? There's a factory automation trend that's just beginning to take hold that deviates radically from the standard assembly line, especially those in the auto plants. Korea's Hyundai has built such a totally different auto plant for its electric vehicle production in Singapore. I mean, Singapore of all places. It's as big as Chicago, and it's got 5 million people, a place where you would not think anyone ever would ever put a plant that manufactures automobile. Give a listen to this.
This may look like just another car factory, but it's actually a new microfactory, manned by autonomous robot dogs and robotic arms monitored by AI. It's designed to change the way cars are produced, and it's been built in the heart of one of the smallest and most expensive countries in the world, Singapore.
Typically, car manufacturers don't build car factories in dense urban cities like Singapore. But here, it's going to be different from most car factories. Robots are going to do a lot of the manufacturing, and it's going to be a much more flexible model.
Microfactories reinvent the way cars are made by automating most of the process and building them in a cell rather than along a production line.
So this could be the future in which we talk in a couple of years from now.
Microfactories are one of the biggest changes to car making in a generation, and if the concept is proven, it could shape the future of the industry. For over 100 years, cars have been built in large plants, manned by hundreds of workers. The trend has been towards building bigger factories. Tesla's Gigafactory facility, located near Austin, Texas, covers more than 10 million square feet of factory floor space and has the capacity to build more than 250,000 vehicles a year. By comparison, Hyundai's new microfactory in Singapore stands just over 935,000 square feet. The car makers to the plant could produce up to 30,000 cars a year. Hyundai has pushed aside the traditional assembly process to allow for a much smaller footprint.
Behind me, there are robots that are putting together the final finishing touches on a car. Typically, in a more conventional manufacturing process, that would actually largely be done by humans. It would be done in a long assembly line, which doesn't allow for much customization.
In traditional auto factories, vehicles travel along a linear path and parts are installed along an assembly line. While the procedure is increasingly automated, the basic process hasn't significantly changed.
Here it's different. It's a cell-based model, which means that there are different cells around the factory floor where that are focused on different tasks, and that actually allows for a lot more automation.
In each cell, robots are tasked with installing several components of the car before it's moved to the next zone. Cells can be modified with different instructions, from installing parts in an identical car design to assembling a different vehicle altogether. Hyundai says that more than 50% of the manufacturing process at its Singapore microfactory is done by robots. Automated ground vehicles move the cars around the factory. While four-legged robots equipped with AI cameras monitor and analyze the assembly.
Issues identified by the robot dogs are then fixed by human workers.
Even though we're a small factory, we're producing cars as a mass manufacturer. So what allows us to do that is the usage of flexible automation and a large portion of systems intelligence behind to orchestrate the manufacturing.
Hyundai says because production is highly automated, only about 100 workers would be needed to produce the plant's capacity of 30,000 cars per year. That means a worker at the microfactory could produce 2 to 3 times the number of cars compared to a person in a traditional factory.
For sure, we will still need large-scale factories. We will still need to produce as many cars as possible in the most effective way when it comes to overall mobility. But we feel that the answer is not only that, and that in an urban environment, having a smaller factory that allows us to produce as many different types of mobility devices in a cost-effective way is absolutely critical.
Hyundai's plant in Singapore is the country's first auto factory in over 40 years. While microfactories could allow wealthier countries to rebuild manufacturing industries, the move toward greater automation will mean fewer manual jobs for workers.
In a typical assembly plant, you would think for the assembly operation of high single-digit to low double-digit percentage of automation, of automated tasks, we are at around 50% already. When it comes to logistics, the provision at the right time of the right part to the right cell is again something where we've automated over 60% already. It's also in very low double-digit in other factories. It's essentially manual.
Microfactories are largely untested ground for the auto industry. For now, Hyundai says it's the only major car maker to start building vehicles out of one.
We have a thesis for the future of mobility. As we test the market, if we realize that this is right, you could see smart urban mobility hubs in many different urban environments.
While the concept behind microfactories remains unproven at a mass scale, they provide a glimpse into what car making could look like as the industry heads towards a future that is more automated.
The net net in all of that when it comes to employees is that it utilizes only 100 workers to produce 30,000 vehicles a year. Part assemblies seem to be something that may get very popular very soon. Our next first ever is about cobots, labs, and gamma rays. Cobots have been working their way into a wide range of laboratories and demonstrating amazing results in nearly every application. One of the latest is at Argonne National Laboratory, that's in Chicago, on a federal government project to see how best to safely speed up the manufacture of medical radioisotopes by incorporating cobots, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. Medical radioisotopes are those radioactive materials used particularly for imaging, diagnosis, and therapy of various medical conditions. With millions of radioisotope treatments annually needing preparation, slow, expensive, and oftentimes dangerous manufacturing processes have been the norm. Some radioisotopes are still made based on technologies used since the 1940s. You've probably seen them, people on one side of a glass wall manipulating grippers through the wall to grab vials and open bottles, etc. Laborious, time-consuming, and it's been around since the 1940s. In practice, radioisotope made of, say, iodine-131 travels through the body and localizes in the thyroid gland. Because it is radioactive, its presence can be detected. That's the deal behind this. It's a radioactive tracer that detects, say, a goiter, which is an irregular growth of the thyroid gland. As a result, in many cases, the demand for these emerging isotopes is far beyond the available supply. This limits the rate of progress in developing these advanced cancer treatments. That's why the integration of cobots and artificial intelligence into the production of radioisotopes holds so much promise. As Argonne physicist Jerry Nolan sees it, just by gaining the ability to do the manipulation of the sample from across the room means that we can safely handle samples up to 10 times as radioactive. This dramatically increases our ability to produce these valuable and necessary isotopes. For our third first ever, we're going to go back to Korea. And this time, we're going to be hooking up with something that robotics has been looking for a very long time. The ultimate human-to-machine interface. language, a human voice. We call this first ever plain talk that robots understand. Finally, how about this? Where the development of artificial intelligence technology has transformed traditional industrial robots into advanced counterparts capable of understanding and executing human commands. There it is, the ultimate human-machine user interface, the human voice. Take a listen to this.
Artificial intelligence technology has been developed to transform robots on industrial sites into smarter ones that can understand human speech. Chung Eun-ju has the details.
The robot understands the researcher's words and starts moving. The robot then moves parts to the workstation and starts assembling them. It understands what people say and carries out their orders. A regular robot transforms into a smart robot when a special artificial intelligence developed by South Korean researchers is installed.
Workers unfamiliar with robots can easily use them, which can improve productivity in the manufacturing industry overall.
Commands can be given not only through voice but also through text. Individuals can program the working process in layman's terms depending on the situation without the need for experts. The artificial intelligence can create the optimal working sequence and movements tailored to the site in a virtual space.
We developed automation tech that understands commands, generates performance order, and executes them simultaneously, a world first for actual application.
AI technology that can easily create speech understanding robots is currently being tested at an electronic parts factory in Cheongju. If the robot's effectiveness is confirmed, it is expected to enable scenarios where humans and robots collaborate as seen in similar scenes in movies. Cheong Eun-ju, Arirang News.
Coming to a factory near you sooner than you think. Our next story is without doubt the most important in all of robotics for the foreseeable future, saving East Asia. China, Korea, and Japan, they're in trouble. They're in what's called demographic decline. It's a story that asks the question, can robot-driven automation save East Asia from the doom scenario of too few workers, too many elderly, and too little automation? A trio of events that is not a good thing for East Asia. Broadly, the three are suffering from demographic decline, which is the reduction over time of a country's population and its inability to regain that population because of a national birth rate that's too low. Replacement birth rate is 2.1 babies per woman. For aging countries, 1.1 and 1.6 is more the norm. The elderly countries include China, Korea, Japan, Russia, Italy, and Finland. Germany and the U.S. escaped this year's numbers because of immigration. You know, all those people at the Rio Grande, all those people flowing up from the Middle East, that's immigration. That's what saved them. Over the next decade, North America and Europe will be thrust into the doom cycle. Korea next week is supposed to announce its new number of 0.64, down from 0.72 in 2022. Remember, the replacement rate is 2.1. The Nikkei Asian Review has an article dealing with Southeast Asia, writing that it reached its best fertility year in 2023, and things are now headed downward. Not as badly as East Asia, but they're beginning to top of the roller coaster ride. Only Indonesia and the Philippines have escaped with sufficient populations of young people. As a historical note as to what constitutes a good fertility rate, here's a Wall Street Journal observation. World War II led to an explosion in government. Remember that government part. It led to an explosion in government spending that restored full employment. Remember that employment part. And the baby boom after the war's end put to rest fears of declining population. The U.S. fertility rate leaped from 2.3 in the 1930s, that's when they thought by the 1960s there was going to be no kids in school, to 3.6 in 1960. And that's what made America's wealth soar and dominant among world economies. So making babies after World War II is what gave us all these crazy boomers who are now retiring. China and Japan have fertility rates of 1.6. Korea has a fertility rate that's the lowest in the world, announced at 0.72 and next week will come out at 0.64. So the difference between a fertility rate of 1.7 and 3.6 is a baby boom. Here are a few deadly factoids that attest to a demographic decline. Today in Japan, there are 4 working people for every 2 elderly retired people. By 2050, it reaches parity, 2 for 2, which will be unsustainable, of course. The average age of Japanese farmers is 70 years old. There are not enough truck drivers for all those gazillions of delivery packages we see going at everybody's doorstep. Or things like frozen and fresh deliveries of foods into warehouses. You get the picture. That's decline. The need for robots is pretty clear. If China, Japan, and Korea can come up with a robot remedy for these ills, then that's called a demographic dividend. Each of these 3 countries wants to go from demographic deficit and decline to a demographic dividend and national success. And yes, each country can succeed if each has a plan and works diligently to execute it. Just exactly what the situation of decline is in each of these countries and what the remedies are that have been proposed, we have in an in-depth article, a series of 3 articles, actually, per country, that are available to one and all in our sister publication, Asian Robotics Review. There's a link in our show notes here for the article series, or just click to the homepage of AsianRoboticsReview.com and click the link there. Technology taking place with robots and artificial intelligence you can also find at our newest online publication, RoboAINews.com. The thing to remember is that what is happening in East Asia is moving west. East Asia is the epicenter of the 4th Industrial Revolution. What can be learned by the rest of the world from what happens at the epicenter will serve us all. Humanity needs to bend technology to its bidding and to share in the salvation of our mutual future. That's what it comes down to. Actually, technology saving humanity does have a precedent. In the 1970s with ZPG, which was called Zero Population Growth. A guy named Paul Ehrlich came out with a book called The Population Bomb, said that the populations of the world were getting out of hand, and it will doom us all. Here's a bit of Dick Nixon, you remember that guy, talking about how the population is really bad. Check this out.
Look at what the year 2000 will be. Our cities are going to be choked with people. They're going to be choked with traffic. They're going to be choked with crime. They're going to be choked with pollution. And they will be impossible places in which to live.
Zero population growth from the 1970s was saved by technology. Number one, the Green Revolution, which came up with ways of feeding millions more people. Medicine, and also contraception. So technology came to the forefront and saved all those worried people. Maybe it can do it again. China's plan is to spend and to spend big, and that's exactly what it's been doing since 2013 when it started buying more robots than anyone else in the world. But it did add on to that in the interim its own homegrown robots, which now constitute between 35% and 40% of all robot sales in China. So some of that money is staying home. Thirdly, what they're doing is they're subsidizing and have been subsidizing the purchase of robots, which a lot of people decry, saying the Chinese government is subsidizing robot purchases. Well, every government should be subsidizing robot purchases. Crazy. In fact, the Koreans, you know, the people with the lowest birth rate in the world, part of their plan is they're going to give away 1 million robots to small to medium enterprises. What a way of priming the pump. That's the government, not subsidizing the purchases, but giving 1 million robots away. So subsidies for robots have really got to come to the West, especially to America. You got to subsidize robots. So the Chinese have already have buying the most, they're spending the most money. They're doing just like they did in the steel industry and with electric vehicles. Spend, 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 put billions in there. And what are they doing? Steel industry took off. They're leading in electric vehicles. And they're also leading in robots. So I think they're getting pretty close to having what you call a demographic dividend. So if they keep working at that, it'd be great. The Koreans, on the other hand, they know that the The shit is going to fly unless they really do something about it, and they have. They're spending as well. But they're also innovative. They've come up with a whole bunch of new innovations. One of them was this week, was teaching robots to respond to human voices. You know, the best way to interact with a robot is to talk to it. And the Koreans have done a first ever in doing that. So their programs for billions of dollars being spent for robots and robot advancement is just off the charts. So go to Asian Robotics Review and read the three articles on them and what they're doing also with artificial intelligence, and it's just incredible. So out of all three of these, in fact, if I were a handicapper, I would handicap the Koreans as being number one in all of East Asia. They really got it going. Japan, they're a sorry case. As one of the Japanese professors said, we didn't notice artificial intelligence. We let it slip away, and now we don't have it, and we're the less for it. You can see that in the article on Japan. For as brilliant as the Japanese are in technology, they've really dropped the ball as far as getting robots into the fore here for the problems that are besetting their society. And it's kind of incredible. At one point, you'll see in an article that a Japanese historian says that Japan was hit with four technological divine winds. One of them was the Korean War, where Dodge trucks were shown to the Japanese how they could be manufactured on an assembly line, which the Toyota family was eyeing very closely. The next thing was the Japanese bought the second transistor computer in the world. They bought it from Bell Labs, the big Bell Labs. Remember them? And they built the second in the world. And so that they saw an industry in what? Computers. And the little company that bought the plans from Bell Labs started calling themselves Sony. So they're the Sony Corporation today. And then in 1960, they started in with robots and soon thereafter became the emperor of all robots. What they need to do is in this next round, they need to be able to see a viable business and go after it and use that viable business in robotics to save the country. So technology is going to be used once again, just as it was with zero population growth, to save the country. If the countries rise to the challenge, we'll be watching for that. Take a look at Asian Robotics Review. The homepage has got a link that clicks into the nine articles, or at the bottom of the show notes for this podcast, you'll also see a link that will lead you there. Great read, a lot of really good information, and you'll see why East Asia is the epicenter of the fourth industrial revolution, really needs some help, because all that stuff is moving west. It's heading right into my living room.
That brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This Is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This Is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.